Hey, again, I'm so thankful for the chance to be here this morning, lead worship with you guys, but then also share my heart in just a little bit. Part of the way that I share my heart or share my message is through music, and so I thought while I had my guys here, we would do a song or two for you all. In the last couple of weeks, all the way from Easter up until now, Pastor Jim has been talking about joy and talking about joy in our lives. And so we're going to do a song that kind of talks about that. While I'm doing that, let me take a second and introduce these guys to you so you know who's up here. Over here playing guitar this weekend, this is Nolan. Everyone say hi, Nolan. Nolan. Over here playing bass guitar, this is Raz. Say what's up, Raz. And Raz, while I'm introducing the guys, on this next scene, I have my piano here, but I need like a really small, like a smaller piano. Can you look around and see if there's anything back there? Just the praise band left. Look around. So back there in the little cave there, that's Abel. Say hello, Abel. Hi, Abel. I can't really see you, but I know you're in there. Cool. Let's see what you got. Because sometimes in life, you know, like sometimes you have days you wake up and everything is just great, you know, and like everything goes amazingly well. You know, you wake up and the sky's blue and it's 72 degrees in Houston and the birds fly in and they spell your name. Lomax. You're like, wow, incredible. And then, you know, everything goes great and you have money in the bank and you're 15, you don't have any pimples. You know, it's great. And then sometimes in life, there are other days that you wake up and it's not as great, right? Well, what we've been learning in the last couple months is that happiness is not the same as joy, right? So happiness depends on what's happening. Everybody with me so far? Say, uh-huh. Okay, so, but your joy is this bedrock that's underneath it, that no matter what's going on with Christ in our lives, we can have joy. Hey, so you find something. Okay, cool. I don't know what the praise band keeps here, but we could use just, yeah, like that. That'd be perfect. Yes, great. Okay. Anyway, so this is a song called Greatest Day Ever. And it goes like so. My dentist today in my favorite chair. I left my cell phone on a plane going somewhere. I got a flat tire in the rain with no spare. The dog ate my homework too, I swear, but it's all right with you in my life. There's nothing wrong. Help us out. And I can sing my song, yeah. And everything's okay. It's my greatest day ever. I'm sorry, officer. I didn't see the sign, but I do appreciate the large fine. I checked my bank account today and it's blowing up minus signs. It seems like it's rained for a year, where's the sunshine? But it's all right with you in my life. Here we go. 'Cause there's nothing wrong. Song, yeah. You can sing along, yeah. And everything's okay. It's my greatest day ever. My greatest day ever makes me wanna say. Thank you.
Everything's okay. It's my greatest day.
Here we go, clap along.
Cause there's nothing wrong. And I can sing my song. Along if you want to, people. Everything's okay. It's my greatest day, and everything's okay. It's my greatest day. It's my greatest day ever.
Thanks a lot. Good job, Raz.
Sweet.
All right. Hey, so while we got these guys here, we're just going to do one more tune for you guys before I kind of get into the actual message that I have for today. We're going to do this one with a music video that we kind of have out right now. It's kind of fun. In the last like 15 years of doing traveling music and stuff, I've never really partnered with like Christian radio. So this song, for the first time, is kind of now getting play around the country. And I'm really excited. This is nothing to sneeze at. We're number 83 in the Netherlands. Okay, so just so you know. Yeah, it's big. It's big. Isn't that awesome? Anyway, but this is a song called The Mirror. And it talks about, you know, that so many times we put value on and we look at what's going on the outside of us. And God looks at the heart. He's not so worried about the outside, what we have, what we wear, all the fronts, the smiles we put on. He's looking at the heart. And so many times we even end up just judging ourselves so much. So we want to just show you this one. We'll show this in the video as well. And again, thanks so much for letting us come. This is called The Mirror. Tick-tock goes the day, and just like that, it's gone and you never get it back. So think about the ones you love, and you just might look them in the eye and even say so. You guys help us out with your hands together. Here we go.
What you see when you look in the mirror, is it empty or regrets? Cause there's a lot of that going round, but I hope that you know there's more to you than you can see. There's more than you can see. At the end of the day, does your heart rise and fall by what they say? Greatness is more than what you look like, and it's more like who you are. So tell me what you see when you look in the mirror. Is it empty? Wow.
So tell me what you see when you look in the mirror. Hey, thanks for listening. Hey, would you help me thank these guys for coming to hang out this weekend with us? Good job, dude.
I could just put on my cool little headset mic. Everyone doing okay this morning so far? Nice. All right. Oh, I need that, dude. Mitch, did you walk off with nice sermon notes? You can't do that. I'm already nervous. Hi. Thank you. You, he's a kidder. Oh, boy. Hello. I was like, it's going to be a long morning if I don't have my little binder. Hey, I'm so thankful to get to hang out with you guys and just share a little bit of my heart. Let me get this adjusted properly and leave it alone. I'm just very, very thankful. A couple things. Again, happy 4th of July. Are you guys excited? It's 4th of July weekend. Second thing new that I wanted to say is very, very fun. I think my mom and dad are going to be watching this podcast at some point, and I'm there in Brenham, so I just want to say hi to them. Yesterday was their 55th wedding anniversary. So, pretty cool. I'm so excited and very just thankful to be able to hang out with you guys and share my heart just a little bit. Very, very thankful to come and lead worship with you guys here and begin, even kind of shortly down the road, beginning to lead worship here and be here on a more regular basis. It's going to be awesome. As I start my little message, one thing that I... Oh, thanks. No. Thanks a lot. One thing that I said I would not do, I'm not going to start by mentioning my wife, Kelly, or addressing her at all. She told me I would get in trouble. So I'm not going to start by addressing my wife and saying how amazing she is and how proud I am of her. And so I'm not going to do that. Not used to this mic. I'm not going to mention that at all. And I will remain in the safe zone. Hi. Yes. And how she came from small town New Mexico, moved here to big city Houston, and learned her way around the big city. And has since then led mission trips to Haiti, Africa, Indonesia. I'm not going to get into any of that stuff. Okay, so I'm also not going to go on and on about your pastor, Jim Leggett, who normally he'd be sitting right down there. But I'm not going to go on and on about how amazing of a pastor we have here at Grace Fellowship. In the course of doing music ministry traveling around, literally without exaggerating, I've probably stepped into the doors of 1,000 churches in 15 years. And if there's anywhere that I would want to go and attend church and learn from a teacher, much less serve and be on staff, it would be here. So give it up for your pastor, Jim Leggett. He's not here, but yeah, he's amazing. And I'm also lastly not going to go on and on about the staff here, okay, about Mitch Binder. Hi. Call me. The staff here is amazing, and the leadership team, and the praise and worship team that is here, volunteer-based, in the choir. These guys are amazing, and so the message is not about them today. It's not about all those things. Today, the message is about a really powerful force in the universe, powerful force. I want you to see this video, and this is going to set us up for our talk today. Here we go. Watch this. We'll be right back. That's not the kind of force we're talking about. But today's message is brought to you by Passat, evidently. So it's good. It's funny. That's not the kind of force we're talking about. The force we're talking about today that is very, very real is the faithfulness of God, okay? And so you have on your notes there, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And what I wanted to do was just kind of share my story and my testimony with you guys briefly. And then I pray that it just really does point to the faithfulness of God, that it really is not to do with me so much, but just about how God is faithful and he's at work. And he is a good God. And so what I want to do very, very first is just pray for us, and we'll continue on. So let's pray together. I've been to a lot of camps this summer. We do this thing with the kids where I say, put your hands out wide. We'll count to three. We'll go one, two, three. Then we clap, and that's when we know it's time to pray. So the kids in here, you got to help me out. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Lord God, we just love you. I say thank you so much for the worship time we've already experienced, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that over the next few minutes, God, that you would be glorified through this message, Lord, and that my name would just go away, Lord, but you would be lifted up and that we would just acknowledge that you are a faithful God, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak in spite of me, Lord. And you know my heart, you know that I'm kind of more comfortable behind an instrument, Lord. But I pray that you work in spite of that and speak to your people today, Lord, of your faithfulness. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, so again, what I want to do is kind of just share my story with you guys, because there's a lot of you in here that I know and have known, and I see a lot of familiar faces that I know, but there's another big cross-section of you that I don't really personally know, and that you're probably thinking, who's this guy that's kind of here leading worship sometime? So I just want to kind of introduce myself briefly. This last summer, I came out with a book, okay, and it's called Have God and Guitar Will Travel. And I'm going to share a few things from it today. They're back there in the back, and what I also told them at the first service, they're like 10 bucks. But if you don't have extra cash for a book or something, I'd love for you to take one just as a gift for me. You can ask Kelly, believe it, we've got plenty of books in the garage. You know what I'm saying? Stick with the music. You know what I mean? So just kidding. I'm playing along. But no, we'd love for you to have it. There's some really fun chapters in here. There's some really cool things. And what I try to do is capture like 15 years of God's faithfulness in my life. And put it into this book. So there's some awesome things. There's one of my favorite chapters is a chapter called One-Liners, okay? And it's just all these things that people have said to me at different times that you're like, that I would just think, they said that to me, and I can't believe you said that. And like, at one point, if I ever wrote a book, you would be in my book. Some of those like, okay, so I was at a kids' camp like a couple summers ago, and I was with these little children, and they were awesome, and we're rocking out, and we finished the last song, and they're like, give it up for Wayne and the band. And I walked off, and they're all clapping, and I went around the back, and I went into the restroom, and I was washing my hands, and there's a little boy there washing his hands, and he goes, you know, there are people more famous than you. Yeah. I know. I said, you made my book, little buddy. And just kidding. I love kids. And then, like, there's a part on the one-liners where I last year I was at a Catholic youth event, and I was getting ready to start to walk on stage, and the priest literally said, excuse me, young man, were you planning on brushing your hair before your performance? I said, no, I just wear it this way. It's cool. And this lady said, oh, no, he just traveled all the way from Houston. He just drove in. I go, no, I wear it this way. It's okay. And he said, oh, please continue. So that was cool. And yeah, like I was at a camp too, and like this kids, I was talking about, you know, how the Jesus in the boat, you know, and I said, you know, Jesus is in the boat, and it got real crazy. The waves came up, and then the Jesus said, peace be still, and everything stopped. And then the disciples said, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And in the back, this little kid goes, he's the weatherman. Yeah, he's the weatherman. Yeah, and then one liner, like involving my sweet wife Kelly, who I will not mention. I was in Japan, and we played at an Air Force base, and like I was like, wouldn't that be cool to like go in there with those guys, and like I could like go into like the barracks and have like the barber like cut my hair and like shave my hair off and get like a total, you know, Air Force cut. And she goes, do you really want that much of your face to show? Remember that? Remember that time? Yeah, it's 4th of July. Is anyone attending for the first time here? Because Jim Leggett's not here. There's a chapter in here about weddings, and in fact, there are two Grace folks who I'm doing two weddings within the next 6 months, and their mom should probably read this before they asked me to do it, but it's things that have gone wrong at weddings. And one, I was at a Lutheran church and had a big balcony in the back, and there were like 500 people, and I was nervous, and I'm playing the piano. It's like I got through the first song, and I was like, whew, got this. Then, like, I went to the next song, and I didn't know the words, so I had a little binder like this, and I had it sitting there, and I turned to follow the words, and when I turned it, it kind of barely pressed the button underneath, and it went from 0-1 piano sound to 0-0 Death Star sounds, okay? And So they got to the Unity candle and said, "Now let us light the Unity candle." And they came together, and I was like, like this. I was like, "Whoa!" And like 500 people turned around and looked up, and I, in the microphone, I go, "Sorry." So that was memorable. So memorable things. And then even more poignant things of God's faithfulness. I got to go on a trip. This was pre-9/11, so the flight stuff was not as strict as it is now. And I was going to play a thing in like New York somewhere. And then I had a connecting flight through Pittsburgh. And a youth guy called me who I knew. And he said, "Would you mind just getting off your flight in Pittsburgh? Come play for my youth group. It's kind of small. But then we'll pay for your flight home." And I said, "Sure, that'd be awesome." And so when I went that day to the airport, I was checking in my luggage. And they said, "Yeah, your ticket says you're going all the way to Houston. So your guitar, your clothes bag, your product, all that stuff has to go ahead and go. You can get off the plane, but your product, your stuff can't, you know, make it." And so I thought, oh man, I can just see the Houston airport with like the little thing with like my guitar going around in circles, you know, with no one there to get it. And I just prayed about it and I thought, maybe I should just call him and tell him, you know, I can't make it. And then I just felt convicted. I said, you know, I need to honor this. I need to go ahead and go. So I left all my stuff, go to Houston, and I got on the plane, and when I arrived there, I didn't have a change of clothes. I had glasses on. I hadn't shaved in a couple days. I had like a little slicky sport pants from the 90s. Remember those? You know you had some. Anyway, so slicky pants, and I got off the plane, and I borrowed a guitar, and it was weird. And so I showed up, and the youth night, there was about a room this size, and there were like 20 kids, okay, sitting there. And I played, and it was an uneventful night. It wasn't even, it didn't seem like it went that great. And I got on the plane, I came home, and even that night, it was pretty funny, like the guy, I thought they were putting me up in a hotel, he said, "Well, you can either sleep at the couch here in the church or the couch in my office." And I was like, wow, I'm big time, you know? I'm on the radio in the Netherlands, I should have said that, but I flew home, and I felt like, you know, was that even really worth it at all? You know, was that worth all that effort? And I got home, I got all my stuff, it was there, and I came home. And like 3 weeks later, I got an email from this girl. She said, "I want to just write you and let you know, I was at this youth group thing in Pittsburgh, and I want to tell you about this girl. She hadn't been really coming to church, but her friend invited her, said, come to this concert. This crazy guy from Houston is coming." And she said that girl came that night, and she'd been going through a lot of stuff. She was feeling really depressed, wondering what she was even doing with her life, and that she was even had been cutting herself. And she said that night, God really spoke to her in big ways, and that she felt a new purpose in her life. And she said, "I want to write you and just let you know, because that girl was me." So I read that email, you know, and I thought, man, forgive me, Lord, for seeking after my own convenience, you know, at any time. And I just pray that today you will hear through some of these little stories that I'm going to share and some scriptures we're going to look at, God's faithfulness. He's faithful. Even on the surface, when it's like, this doesn't really make sense what's happening right now, you just know that God is at work. Amen? Okay, so if you look at your little scriptures there, I got a few little notes. Jim normally brings about 40 fill-in-the-blank things. This is shorter than that. So look at scripture A right there, okay? Deuteronomy 7:9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." He's a faithful God. And if you look right there underneath that, where you can write this in, it's in his character to be faithful. It's just in his character to be faithful. It's not in his character to be unfaithful to us. I'm going to just kind of tell my testimony in about a 9-minute version of how I got from there to here with this whole music thing and what God's been up to in my life. I grew up as like an art kid. Do we have any arts, drawing, painting kind of kids or adults? Anybody? Anybody? 1, 2, couple that don't want to admit it. Okay, sweet. I was just that kid. I was like super shy, and I would go to school and I would go to basketball practice and I would suffer through that. And then I would go home and I would like draw. I had a drawing table my parents bought me, and I would just go at it. And I had these big plastic oversized headphones, okay? And I would listen to music. I love music, but I didn't want anything to do with playing music. I would just draw. And it was very, very fun. All through growing up, that's all I did. And in high school, I was even having success in that. Anytime there was like a school play or anytime they needed graphics done or a poster, they'd be like, "Call Wayne, let's have him do it." You know, so that was me growing up. Well, when I graduated high school, I just went to work for a year. No one in my family had gone to college really at any capacity. So my dad worked real hard his whole life, standing on concrete 9 hours a day, you know, working in the oil world. And he just hardworking, and my mom worked as well. And my sister got married really soon out of school. And so I was the first one to try and go to college. And so I was convincing him, and I was like, "Mom, Dad, I can make money doing art, you know, Like, come on, I'll draw pictures and they'll pay me money. You know, and my dad was like, I don't know what's happening with this. He didn't really buy into it. But he finally, he was on board for me to do it. But during that year, I just worked to save money so I could go to school. But during that year, something really cool and crazy happened. I discovered the piano, okay? We had a piano sitting in my house all from the time that I was growing up. My sister, when she was really little, said, Mom, Dad, I want to take piano lessons. So I bought this old piano from a church. And then about 3 weeks later, she said, Mom, Dad, I want to be a cheerleader. And so she never touched it again for like years, right? And so the piano sat there. And so during this year, for whatever reason, I would just mess around with the piano. And it was really weird because I could hear a song on the radio. And I wasn't technically very good, but I could hear it and I could go find the notes, right? And I know I'm going to date myself here, but back in the day, we had bands like Chicago, okay? You know what I'm saying? REO Speedwagon. Don't act like y'all don't know. The kids are like, who are they talking about? Chicago's a place. Anyway, so I would like learn songs, you know, and I would play them. And I was like, this is really weird. Like, I can hear the song and it makes sense that these are the notes, you know, and I just was playing by ear, you know. And so it was really cool. So all during that year, I was just like obsessed with it. So I went off to college and I was studying art, okay. And during that time, I would go to class every day. But then I realized that the art building was adjacent to the music building, okay. And so what I would do is I would go and I found this one long hallway in the music building that had like 30 doors on each side. And in every single door was a 6-foot by 6-foot room. And in every single room, there was a piano. 24 hours a day, that building was open. So I would just go and I would take my little backpack and I would go sit in that room and I would just play music. I was noodling around. I didn't know what I was doing. But also during that year, first year of college, my sister started going to a really on fire United Methodist church that was here in Houston. And I would visit and I was like, these people are crazy, man. They're like singing songs and they're happy. It's weirding me out. You know, they're all happy people. And, you know, like they were teaching God's word. And I was like growing leaps and bounds by hearing all these things in scriptures. So during that year, I was growing in the Lord, but I was also just playing the piano. So this continued on about my sophomore year. I was really into it and having fun. And my friend, it's like, dude, you write all these songs. You need to get in this talent show. So I got in this talent show, won a talent show, and it was really weird. All that was new. And so halfway through my college time, y'all, I came home. I said, Mom, Dad, I'm ready to drop out of school and be a musician. Yeah, right? So on the old ladder of career choices, artist and then musician is way further below, you know? And so my dad, I never heard him say so many colorful words ever. And he convinced me to stay in school, right, which I did. And after that time, I stayed in school, I got out of school, and started working in graphic design, like with a grocery company that's based here in Houston. And it was really exciting. I would make the ads for bananas. So I would like drag the clip art, bananas, 99 cents a pound, print. You know, that was my life. I was like, I went to school for this? Oh, today, Diet Pepsi, $1.99 a 2-liter. It was really brutal. And so during that time, I was thankful to have a job, but I wasn't really loving it. But I got a chance to go then to lead music at a camp at Lakeview, the Methodist camping facility here in Texas. And they asked if I would come all week and lead worship. And I was like, yeah, it's totally cool. So I took my 1 week of vacation and I went to this camp. And so I left my little cubicle and my tie and I went to this camp, right? And so Monday through Friday, just hanging out with kids and hanging out with them. They're swimming, they're having fun. And then in the sessions, just worshiping God and hearing them sing. And then hearing the speaker talk and hearing God's word and just seeing like transformation in young people, like from Monday where they act like they're too cool to do anything to Tuesday where they're softening up a little bit. And then Wednesday that they're just so receptive and they're just singing out to God and that they're journaling and they're smiling. And then by Friday, no one wanted to leave. And so, people are all hugging and saying, bye, I love you. And they're exchanging addresses and phone numbers. And I was like, this is amazing. And I went home and I was very tired, but I was very full spiritually. So then that Monday morning came and I put my tie on and I went to my little cubicle and I said, there's no way I can do this anymore. And so that started like about a year and a half long journey where I just said, I would come and I would play anywhere for anything. I would go to any event. As I was growing in the Lord, I was just following whatever what was happening in my life. And in 95, this was a year and a half after that, 1995, I quit my day job and have been doing music ministry ever since. And just the I could sit here and probably talk your ears off, but just the stories of God's faithfulness during that time frame of getting to go different places all around the country. And in the last 5, 6, 7 years, We've been consistently doing 180 to 200 days of the year playing concerts all around the country and even abroad. And one of my favorite things that's ever happened, I got to go one of the times in Japan, and we were playing for about 300 kids. And we put the worship songs up in English because they like to practice English, right? But we, under every line, it was in Japanese, so they would know clearly what they were saying. And like one of the songs was Shout to the Lord, you know, and just hearing them sing that. And so afterwards, I was selling CDs, and I was signing CDs for people. And I made the mistake of like, because sometimes here it's a habit, if someone says, hey, I like your CD, and I would say, hey, what's your name? And they would say, Cindy, and I would, oh, hey, and I would write it. But then in Japan, I messed up, because I was like, hi, what's your name? And she said, Nihon Shinkanta. I said, I don't know how to spell that, so I'm going to just put my name on there, right? And it's awesome. So then like the next girl came and she said, I would like to try and say in English. I said, okay. And she said, you sing Heaven Open My Heart. So in that moment, boy, I knew it had way less to do with me, right, showing up and playing songs, that had a whole lot to do with God orchestrating just a moment where His heart could connect with a young girl in Japan. Everybody with me so far? So I realized I saw God's faithfulness in that. That it wasn't really about me at all, but it was like seeing God at work was really amazing. Look at your notes there. Let's jot down what the next scripture says. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. He cannot disown Himself. If you're right underneath that in the next line, it says, it's in His DNA to be faithful. It's just how God is wired to be faithful. And so even now, as I kind of look back on those last 15 years and I look at like the current year that I'm in right now, like this January, past January, me and these guys, we got to play at this thing called Resurrection in Tennessee, and it was 12,000 kids, if you can imagine, junior high, high school. And there was a moment during that, like during the prayer time, I was just playing the piano, and all of a sudden I thought of like sitting in that college room where I thought, why am I even doing this? I'm just sitting here noodling around on the piano and seeing as how God was connecting all these dots to create a place for me to just do what I was wired to do, not bring glory to myself, but to create a place for God to speak into somebody's life, you know? And it's been really awesome. And even just this last 2 weeks ago, I went with a team here that Kelly led over to Indonesia. And seeing God's faithfulness all around the world. Seeing these missionary folks who live and work there, you know, I kind of thought in my mind, they'll be these rough, crazy mission field workers, and they'll be kind of big beard, and yeah, you know, we left America. And I was shocked to see 25-year-old guy, 23-year-old girl, two kids, that many of you small groups, you pray for them by name. And I'll be like, hi, they're okay, we're from Minnesota. Hey, where are you guys from? We're from Florida. Wow, thanks for serving the Banjar people and the Makassar people. Where are you from, Andreas? From Germany. Different people, you know, from all over. And it was amazing. And I see God's faithfulness in that. Look at the next scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:9. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. God, who called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful. It's in His heart to be faithful. You know, sometimes, like I said a while ago, as we did that fun kind of random song with a little piano, you know, there are some days when everything's good, and on those days and it's sunny and everything's going fine, it's just say, praise you, God, because you're good, you know, everything's good, but I thank you. And on days when it's like things are messed up and you don't understand what's happening and it's raining, and it's raining in your life too, you know, we can say, God, I praise you for your faithfulness. I am never once alone. You know, I don't ever have to be alone. And, you know, even with myself a few years ago, I had some weird illnesses going on that they couldn't like figure out kind of what was happening. And they were like doing all these tests that were kind of crazy. And it was like a weird time. And even I found one day I had to take one of those CAT scan things, you know, you get in the tube, you know. And so I was just like in this tube going in, and I was just thinking of that song, Everlasting God, had just come out, you know. So I was just singing that song in my mind. In my mind, I was playing the guitar. I was like, what else are you going to do? You know, you're in a tube for a little while, you know. And I was like, you know what, God, I'm just going to tell you that you're faithful, and man, you're awesome, and I just worship you even now, you know. And even later when they came back and said, yeah, everything looks good and fine, you know, you can go home. It's like, that was a weird way to spend the day, you know. But no matter what, you know, I just, to be encouraged today, that if you're in that time where you're like, man, things aren't going great, and I don't feel like writing a book about what's going on right now, maybe you would say, you know what, God, I just acknowledge that you are faithful. You've not left me alone one time. you know, I can stand. You're a firm foundation. Amen. Your next scripture, this right there, Psalms 33, 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. All he does. So even in his actions there, he's faithful. In his actions, he's faithful. Because he, as I was like preparing for this and thinking about this book and stuff, you know, I don't think it was ever God's plan for me to become semi-well-known or be a Christian artist that people would know. I think that we're all designed just to glorify God with whatever we're being given, right? And so I look back on this, on my life, and I just say, you know what, God, wow, you just are designing all of us, every single person that's in here, we're designed, if he's wired and his DNA is to be faithful, we're wired to glorify him with our life, right? And whatever that looks like in our lives. I just have one quick story that I'm going to tell, and then we're going to wrap it up. I have a photo of, I'm going to put up here right now. This is our dog that we had previously. This is Sky. Everyone say hi, Sky. This is my Christmas album from several years ago. And, you know, it was good marketing. Like, take my goofy face off and put the dog on there, and the sales would increase, you know. And so I put Sky on the Christmas album. And he was our dog that we got when we first got married. And he was a great dog. And if any of you know Huskies at all, they're great, great dogs. They don't really bark at stuff. They're really, man, really low key, really low maintenance. But if they, you might be out walking them or something, if they get a whiff of something, their DNA, in fact, then kicks in, their instinct, and they'll just run off. You can call their name, and it's not that they don't love you, appreciate you, or even feed them on a daily basis. They will follow their thing. You know, it's like they think they're in Alaska all of a sudden, and off they go, right? So this one day, it was spring, and it was a beautiful day in Houston, and it was like 72 degrees, blue sky. And I didn't have anything to do. It was on a Tuesday. And I was like, I'm going to take Sky. I'm going to go to the, I'm going to take him to a park. We're just going to go hang out, right? And it's going to be awesome. And so we went out to Bear Creek Park, which is, I don't know if you know, like I-10 and Highway 6, whatever. And so I took my dog out there, and it's a beautiful day. I was like, man, this is so awesome. So I put him on the leash, and we found this area. There was no one out there. I found a big field where it's just trees all around. And I found out later, I don't know the size of Bear Creek Park, but it's like thousands of acres. This place is really, really huge. I don't know if you've been out there. And so I took him out there, and we were practicing this little deal. At the time, Kelly was working on him, trying to teach him how to do different things. And so we would work on this deal to keep him obedient. And so I would tell him to sit, and he would sit, and I would take him off the leash, and then I would say, stay. And then I would walk just a little bit away, and you could tell he wanted to run at me. But I would walk a few feet away, and then I would say, okay, stay. And then I would say, okay, come on. And I would run. And he would just run, sprint at me, and he would tackle me, and we'd roll around, a man and his dog. You know what I'm saying? I know it's weird. My wife thinks I'm super weird with the dog. But anyway, so he's awesome. So I'd put him back on the leash, and then we'd walk around. And then I'd try it again, and I say, sit. I take him off the leash, and I say, stay. And this one, I want to try it further away. So I'm like, stay, stay, stay. And I get way over here. And then I would say, okay, ready? And I'd say, okay, come on. And I would run. And he would run after me, and we would run. It was totally awesome. So then, next I wanted to try super far and just make sure that he was being obedient. So I set him there, took him off the leash, stay. So I walked way over here, I said, stay, don't move, stay. I walked way over here, I said, stay, don't move. And right about the time that I was going to say, okay, ready? Right then, over in the trees, something shuffled around and moved around, some animal. And he looked over there. And I said, don't think about it, okay? Just don't even... I said, ready? Come on. I said, come on. He ran right into the woods. Okay. And so he ran off into the woods. And I was like, Sky, come here. I'm screaming his name. There are all the trees. And I said, Sky, come here. Come on. And then I said the key phrase that many of you know, treats. Okay. I have a treat. Come here, boy. Come on. So I'm like, come here, Sky. And all I'm hearing in the distance is, he's like getting fainter and fainter as he's chasing something. I'm like, oh man. So I go to the edge of these trees. And it had been raining. It was super muddy in there. And I was like, oh, man. And I had, like, these new, like, white Adidas shoes on. I was like, man, this is lame. And so I said, okay, I'll go back in here. So I'm climbing through a little bit. And I'm like, Sky, come here, buddy. And I'm screaming out his name. I'm not hearing anything. I'm like, man, now I need to go find him. So off I go, walking through these trees, right? And it's very dense back in there. I'm crawling under stuff. I'm screaming out his name. I'm getting little cuts. I'm getting muddy. I'm sweating now. I'm screaming out his name. And about an hour into this thing, I realize this place is huge, and I might have just lost our dog, right? And so I'm going to call Kelly and say, I lost our dog that we got as soon as we got married because I'm just out here being goofy, you know. So I got really worried. So I ran back to where my truck was, and I drove back around to the entrance, and I found, like, the ranger station. So I walked in, and I said, hey, how's it going? And they looked at me, and I was really messed up looking already and muddy, and they said, is everything okay, sir? And I said, I'm good. I just lost my dog. It's a black and white husky. You may have seen him on a Christmas album. No? Okay. Not from the Netherlands. It's funny. Sorry. And so I said, he's got a tag on. So, you know, if you just put the word out. I said, okay, we'll call all the rangers to put the word out. I said, I'm going to go back out and look for him. So I drive back around. I drive on these side streets. I'm driving around. And that place is huge. I wasn't seeing him anywhere. And time is going by. So finally, I go back to where we were. I park the truck. I go back into that area. And I go off into the woods again. And now at this time, I'm not caring about if I'm muddy or what's happening. I'm like running, sprinting, crisscrossing all through this land, screaming out his name as loud as I can. I was getting cuts. I got a cut on my face. I'm sweating. Man, I'm just like going through thorny bushes. And with reckless abandon, I'm just doing whatever it would take to get to him. And y'all, I want you to know that like, I just stopped in my tracks in the middle of that. And I felt like God just dropped it into my heart, just the scripture of if a shepherd has 100 sheep, right, and he loses one, a good shepherd, not an okay shepherd, but a really good one, will leave those 100, and he will go and find the one and do whatever it takes to get the one that's lost. You know the story, right? And he'll bring it back because he wants that sheep to come back into the fold where everyone else. And I started thinking about, I just stopped there, and I started thinking about Jesus Christ and how he would has done whatever it took to get to you and I. And he was cut and he was bruised way more than I was. And he shed his blood for us, you know, to display his faithfulness to us. And I just sat there and I just started crying. I was like, man, thank you, God, that you love us so much that you would send your son to be a sacrifice for me and to bring me into relationship with you. And you don't want me to just run off. And then at times in life, if I get distracted by something and I run off into the trees, he says, I want to bring you back. I'm going after you. I will not leave you to your own devices out there. I want to bring you back. And so I was very thankful for that time. So 4 hours had gone by, and I went out to my truck. I drove back to the ranger station, and I walked in, and now I look completely, had a bunch of cuts. I was sweat through all my clothes, mud everywhere. I said, hey, I just wanted to say I'm giving up. I just want to let y'all know. And she said, yeah, oh, we were trying to find you. Someone called earlier, and they said they saw a dog, and it got into a car and drove away. Okay, thanks for helping us try and look. So I go to my truck, and I'm driving out of there. I'm getting ready to call Kelly. And my cell phone rings, and I'm like, hello? And this guy says, hello, my name's Ernesto, and I think I have your dog. And I said, what, really? He goes, yeah, he's really muddy and really stinky, and he's really wet. And I said, that's him. And he said, I'll meet you in a few minutes at this gas station, but I got to totally shower him off before I put him in my car again. I said, okay, awesome. I said, we'll meet at this gas station, Highway 6, I-10. I'm like, oh my gosh. So we meet there 15 minutes later, and here's his car pulls up, and I see Sky, and he doesn't look like that really. He looks kind of like a rat dog now. That's like super skinny with just wet and gross. And I'm like, Sky. And I rubbed his head, and I put him in the truck. I'm like, you're crazy. So then I went to Ernesto. I said, man, thank you so much for being honest and calling me. And I said, I don't have anything to give you right now, but I do Christian music for a living, and I have one of my CDs in the truck, and I'd love to give it to you as a gift, just maybe as a blessing to you. And he said, whoa, I don't know what's happening this week, but last week all these things were happening, telling me I need to go to church, and now I find some Christian singer's dog. You know? Wow. And I said, man, I don't know what God is doing in your life, but you should respond, you know? And so I say that to you today. That God's faithfulness is being displayed over and over and over again. We could choose to miss it, or we could choose to respond and say, God, you're a good God, and you're faithful to me. And through the most powerful way is that he displayed his faithfulness through Christ, and that's the last scripture right there. Philippians 2:8, for he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Through his son, he displays his faithfulness. He displays his faithfulness. You know, and as I look back on all these things now. When I was 15 years ago walking around praying to God, God, should I quit my job? Should I do music? Having a real prayer, not like a little prayer at lunchtime saying, bless our food, pass the potatoes. No, like a real prayer where you walk around and I was talking out loud, not caring if anyone hears me, but looking up to the trees saying, you know, God, if this is you, please open the doors to do music. If it's not you, close that passion in my heart and I'll be a graphic designer and I'll make bananas look good, you know? But calling out in prayer. And that during that time in my life, God was faithful. In Indonesia 2 weeks ago, when I heard a 19-year-old girl tell her testimony through a translator of how she has had visions of a man in white come visit her, and she can't see his face, but he's in a white robe, and he said, come follow me, and led her out of her house. And at the end of the street, on this side was the mosque, and on this side was the church. Hearing her tell me that out of her own mouth, all over the 1040 window, people are having dreams of Jesus Christ, right? And hearing her share that, and how she has since led 18 people to the Lord. Right? In the places that you guys pray for on a weekly basis. Those mission folks, when we said every week from the pulpit, someone prays for the Banjar and the Makassar, and they were like, really? In Katy, Texas? Why? Because God is faithful. Like Jim always says, you know, he didn't need another church in Katy. He needed a church in Katy to reach the 1040 window, right? He's faithful. When I go to camps like last week and I see 800 kids, junior high and high school students worshiping with a band and setting the example for how we should want to worship God, I see his faithfulness. And when my dad was diagnosed a year and a half ago, even with cancer, and he's still plugging away, I see God is faithful in that, you know? And that when things look really, really bleak, no matter what happens, we all get our eternal healing one day, right? God's faithful. In just a second, I'm going to have the band guys to work their way back up. And we're going to do like we do every week. At this church, we just have a prayer time that lets you kind of respond. You know, and this is the God, all these things that I've been talking about, this is the God we're worshiping. Not a myth, not a God of praying, just praying, tossing up prayers to the air, but like the creator of the universe wants to be intimately involved in your life. And you don't have to like write a book one day and jot all those things down. But if you'll look on the backside of that sheet there, there's a blank page. And so maybe during this altar time, maybe you would just take a moment and say, I'm going to jot down, if I stop and think about it, how, God, you've been faithful to me in this, and just write it down. Maybe you'd put a marker down and say, man, even through this, you never let me down. You've opened this door in my life. Here's the ways you've been good. Maybe you would write those things down. And maybe as you guys come, a few prompts, if you would come up and pray, maybe God has shown himself faithful to you and you would say thank you. And jot those things down. Maybe you need an extra dose of encouragement, or maybe you need an extra dose of faithfulness today, and you would say, God, I need you to be faithful in my life in this area. Maybe you just pour it out before him. Or maybe you bring your whole family up here. Maybe how cool that would be. You got the kiddos here. Maybe you bring them up, and as a family, pray together and say, God, thank you for your faithfulness in my family. He's faithful in his character, his DNA, his actions, his heart. So let me pray for us, and we'll have this time. Lord God, I thank you so much, Lord, through this opportunity just to share in a really fast, rapid-fire way, Lord, all the ways in which you've been just so amazing in my life, God. And I pray that encourages somebody today to just know that you're faithful, and we just praise you, Lord. And one day we get to all be together at a daily concert event where there are millions upon millions of people representing all the nations, where we get to worship you and just hang out with you. But until that day, Lord, I pray that we'd be found on this side being worshipers and sharing with others of your faithfulness, God. So hear us now as we come with our thanks or with our petitions or with our own families. This time is yours.